Well, here we are again, everyone, at the Luther Canon Institute of Reformational Theology. The lights are shining bright. Everything is spick and span. The floors are swept, and all those wads of paper from all my thinking have been picked up and round filed. Snoops the dog is here with us today with a fresh bone on his favorite pillow. Hey, Snoops, say hi. That's my pooch. John, the broadcast supervisor, is here. Connor, our technical man extraordinaire, he's got his hands on the dials and he's ready to go. And guess what? That's right. You're here also, and I'm here, Luther Canon, to help direct all you listeners down the narrow path of getting it right, because that's what we do here. You got it. I'm told it helps people out, and you know what? That's a good thing. We've got another cutting-edge broadcast coming your way, and hey, it's like, where do you go when you leave the walls of the four-walled church and you launch out into the deep of the things of the kingdom? Where do you go? Well, you snuggle up a little closer to the truth. You grab its hand. You lock step with it. You run with it. You have a meal with it. You let it invade your heart and mind and take over. That's right. You give it control. You even marry it, amen. You have a romance with the truth of God's word. Oh, and what a romance it is. It's a romance like you've never had before. No smoochers, no cuddling. Just incredible intimacy with the truth itself, Jesus. Can you do that, friends? Well, as long as personal this and personal that doesn't get in your way, you'll do just fine. So here we go, everyone, and you're invited.
And now, direct from the studio at the Luther Canon Institute of Reformational Theology, here's Luther Canon.
Well, thank you, everyone. I do appreciate that. And as I always say, all the glory goes to Jesus, because without him, you and I wouldn't be here. Where would we be? Well, that's a good question. Probably not alive, because guess what? The earth as we've known it wouldn't be here either. As the scripture says, all things were created in him, through him, and for him. And without him was nothing created that was created. Okay, have you noticed the headlines lately? It's like, how can you miss them, right? A couple of things along this lines. Now, I'm speaking out of the good old USA. I don't know which part of the world you're from, but honestly, what we are seeing over the last number of years is no respecter of nation. I would guess no matter what part of the world you are from, that you've noticed an uptick in evil and eye-opening situations. Especially here in America, we've seen an unprecedented amount of change that has been shocking to say the least, an incredible breakdown of law, a near total departure from traditional and, might I add, biblical morality, especially with the push for accepting homosexuality and the whole what we call LGBTQ agenda, the sabotage of our children and youth, and the whole liberal radical agenda that is undermining the order that many of us grew up with. I remember when the whole COVID thing came in, and to make matters worse, people were resetting themselves and calling it the new normal. Well, let me tell you something. There is no new normal for us Christians. There's only one normal, and that has been consistent since the days of Jesus Christ. And guess what, gang? It isn't going anywhere because of what's happening today. There's no power on earth or under earth that can alter the normal that Jesus put in place. What is that normal? Well, I think the late David Wilkerson said it well when God said to him, "I have everything under control." Remember that, folks. God is in charge of all this hocus pocus and not anyone else. Regardless of how much money or power they have, he is in charge of your life. It was the Apostle Paul who wrote, "He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view of the fullness of the times," that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. What does all that mean? It means God is moving everything toward the glory and honor of Jesus. He is soon to be the central figure on planet Earth. Yeah, I get it. Things are looking a little out of control right now, but cheer up, Christian soldier. God has our welfare in mind, and nothing will stop that. And with that in mind, let me say this. Jesus is coming back soon. We have moved into the time of the return of Jesus Christ. No, we don't know the day or the hour, but we are in a second return era. I repeat, we are in a second return era. And fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen, fellas and fellers, because this is going to be a hectic ride. History is now moving from a walk to a run. And the smart people among us will grab its hand and run with it. A couple of points here as we move on. Please hear me on this. It will help you make sense out of what is happening and will happen as we approach the Lord's return. What am I talking about? I'm talking about speed. Good old down the road as fast as you can. Speed. God isn't going to play games as he wraps up his plan on planet Earth. So we're going to look at one scripture here and focus on it a bit because it really captures what we're talking about. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1 says, at least in most translations, the things which must shortly come to pass. Now, I know that may be what your translation says, but let's get real accurate here. After all, accuracy is one of the reasons God chose Koine Greek to communicate his message in the New Testament. He wanted to define his purpose in Christ as accurately as possible, and Koine Greek made that possible. So you'd have to work real hard to get it wrong. And yes, we've certainly done that with all our walls around all our favorite beliefs to secure us in our denominations. But in actuality, you've got to work hard to get it wrong. We love to bring such things as bias, insecurities, greed, dishonesty, selfish ambition, and other such novelties of the flesh into our interpretation of Scripture to have it our way out of what we read. Can we do that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, we can. It's far too often the template people apply whenever they read the Word of God. And guess what? God will let us do it if that's what we really want. We just jump on the wrong train, going the wrong way, and pretend real hard it's actually going the right way. But it's not. Okay, let me get back to what I'm talking about.
Seems like we kind of dig our graves when we do this.
What's that, guys?
We're just saying it seems like we kind of dig our graves when we do this stuff.
Yeah, we dig our own graves because we put our own insecurities before the truth. You know, we've gone so long in this stuff, you sound like a nutcake, or at best a really negative person to suggest it. But you know what? I don't care. When you mess with the Word of God, you mess with Jesus. And when you mess with Jesus, you mess with me. Amen. Now, are we okay with all that out there, everyone? Uh-huh. All right, let's move on. When a person puts that lens on, there's no telling what we're going to turn in favor of ourselves. Did you hear me on that, dear listener? So much of biblical interpretation these days is tainted by looking out for numero uno, ourselves, not the Lord. We love to use Scripture to hide behind, not to be transparent with. My, oh my, we could say a lot on that. Listen to this scripture as we move on. This is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Did we get that? If a person is going to understand the Word of God right, things like this have got to be laid aside. James says, therefore, ridding yourselves of all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. My, oh my, oh my, do we need a cleansing of motives today? everybody's trying to protect themselves, protect their pulpit, their walls, their money, their lifestyle, their future, and on it goes. Am I getting worked up? Yeah, just a little bit. It happens sometimes on this show. Why don't we just grab a gun, put it to our head as the church, and get it over with? We are sabotaging ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. You can't possibly suggest it, because people will write you off. But I see you out there, people. You're listening. Don't tell anybody. They'll think you're one of them. And don't let that happen. Oh, my. They might have to face their religious spirits. Okay, lemonade time. Calm down, Luther. Get a grip on yourself. Okay, what was I saying? Oh, yes, God's people might have to face some religious spirits these days, because guess what? They love to make Christians feel so good about their deadness and their powerlessness. Just keep them sleeping. We don't want them to wake up. I mean, they might find out what Jesus really wants for their lives. And oh, hell doesn't want that to happen, does it? Okay, I'm done ranting. I'm calming down. Pulpits, start preaching this stuff. Start preaching it to yourselves. I mean, that's where it starts. We are never going to get out of the quagmire of all our contradictory doctrines, thinking, and powerlessness unless we deal with this. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here from Luther Cannon at the Institute of Reformational Theology. Something's got to change with our attitudes before anything is ever going to change with our thinking, our concepts of God, our understanding of Jesus, our theologies. And that's not going to happen until our gracious God grants us conviction and repentance from all this stuff. This change isn't going to happen because someone, somewhere, got it all figured out, and everyone around him was so spiritual they figured out he was right and decided, well, bless God, we're going to change. That's not how this stuff works, because that's not how deception works. Deception is a destroyer. It will not let you go without the help of God. Now, where was I? I know I get out on these branches, but hey, they haven't broken yet. Okay. Very funny, Connor. Very funny. Okay. Now that I'm on the ground again, let's get back to the original point. What was it?
You were talking about Revelation 1:1.
Ah, yes. We were talking about the increasing speed of events as we approach the return of Jesus Christ. Now let me get a little bit academic with you here as we look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. Because some academics are necessary if we're going to understand the Word of God. I want to look at several translations on this phrase in Revelation 1:1 that says, "the things which must shortly come to pass." The New International Version says this, "the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place." The English Standard Version says, "the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place." Berean Standard Bible, "this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon come to pass." The King James Bible, "the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass." The New King James Version says, "things which must shortly take place." New American Standard Bible, "things which must soon take place." The NASB, New American Standard Bible of 1995, "the things which must soon take place." The same version in 1977, "the things which must shortly take place." So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. 8 of the better translations out today basically saying the same things, that the things that are coming will come soon. They're not going to be way down the road, but that's not really what this verse says. Listen, this was written about 2,000 years ago, and we are still waiting for these things to come about. I don't call that happening soon by any stretch of the imagination or the translator's pen. As the saying goes, something was lost in the translation, and they lost it big time here. And in the process, they covered up an extremely important point concerning the day we live in. There are more literal translations that get this right. Now, why do translators do this, people? Yes, they're human. I get it. And thank God we have them. But why do they do things like this? As you're going to see, the Greek does not say this at all. They are supposed to understand these things and translate it accurately, but instead, something got in the way. Popularity? Denominational persuasion? Personal bias? The head of the translating committee? Somebody or something got in their way and altered the original meaning here. And we, my modern Christian friends, have enough manuscripts and resources available to us today to overrule such waffling and get it right. And that's exactly what we're going to do. And guess what? God's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do, regardless of what any translator does or says. Now, the Greek word translated soon here is the word takos. It means swiftness. It means speed. It means short duration. The more literal translations say it this way. This is from the Berean Literal Bible. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants what things it behooves to take place in quickness. Literal Standard Version. A revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to him to show to his servants what things must quickly come to pass. Young's Literal Translation. A revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him to show to his servants what things it behooves to come to pass quickly. Now we're getting somewhere, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking duration here. How quickly something is going to come to pass when it actually starts happening. We are not talking in the sense of when, but time in the sense of how fast. Are you following me on this? Just a little bit more. Jesus said it this way. Truly I say to you, this is a quote from Matthew 24, verse 34. Truly I say to you, this generation shall not pass away until all these things take place. The whole sum total of it will be confined to one generation. We're talking rapid fire here. Do we understand this, folks? Things are going to speed up, ladies and gentlemen. The slow pace of history is going to get an adrenaline shot. Everything is going into the fast lane. There will be no time to drag feet here. We've got to be ready to move with this, and in order to move with it, we've got to see it, we've got to recognize it, and not be taken off guard as it comes in. And it is coming in. Now, another scripture says this on the same point. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. That's Romans 9, verse 28. And most of the readings I'm doing are either out of the King James or the New King James or the New American Standard Version. Have we noticed the speed at which things are happening in the earth lately? And the pace will continue like this and speed up. You know what happens when you come to a dangerous traffic situation or other dangerous situation that only gives you a few seconds to decide what to do. That is exactly what we're talking about here. It reminds me of the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. 5 of them let their oil drain out, and they couldn't move fast enough to get it resolved before the Lord came and shut the door on them. This is exactly what we're talking about here. This is going to be a very dangerous time, a time that will catch many Christians off guard. They will not be ready, and there won't be time to get ready. There's going to be a ton of changes in the church and how we do church, and we're going to have to keep up with it. Watch your backs, people. I repeat again, Watch your backs. There's going to be no time for mamby-pamby Christianity. You just don't want to be one of those saying, "Ah, Mr. Luther, isn't it wonderful? Jesus is coming back soon and we're all going to go to heaven. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Come on, Mr. Luther, sing it with me. Oh, when we all..." Now, that's not the way it's going to be, people. Please understand, the rapid-fire changes that are happening in our world right now are going to be matched with rapid-fire changes in the church. We are talking about significant reformation, changes in order, theology, relationships, areas of unity, authority, authority structures, vision, power, the way evangelism is done, giftings. And it's all going to come fast. And those who are stuck in the old mode of doing things and are slow to embrace the changes that are coming are going to be left behind in the dust. And when the dust clears, much of the church will be gone to be with Jesus. Can we handle that out there? Again, are we able to handle this? Note this, the Apostle John wrote that if all the things that Jesus did were written, the world couldn't contain the books. He did all that in 3.5 years. Are we ready for that kind of activity? It will dwarf what is going on in the world right now. Prepare yourself, church, that in the greatest time of evil the world has witnessed since the days of Noah will also come the greatest move of God the world has ever seen. More on this next time from those of us at the Luther Canon Institute of Reformational Theology. God's rich blessings.